This week on the Ritual Misery podcast, somebody's got chicken pox.
Hopefully it wasn't Catalina.
Well, yeah, I mean, she might give it to OBS.
In DC, perhaps?
Yeah, but just remember, anytime you have appliances, you have resistance. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 234 for Thursday, the 21st of November, 2019. This is the show where This is the show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent. We have a live chat room. We appreciate all of you. And that's the show. Thank you. Good night.
And that was great. That was awesome. That's a wrap.
It's, all right, it's just pre-show from now on, man. Just pre-show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, it's great. It's Thursday. It's my favorite day of the week. And yeah, it's Ritual Misery.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Yeah. How's it going, man?
I'm getting ready to get on a flight to Arizona. So, you know, like I just got back from DC and got ready to go to Arizona. Totally separate reasons, but 4-day layover at home.
Yeah. So like any reason in particular, you just like, you know what? Alaska's too fucking cold, so let's go to Arizona.
We got 8 inches of snow here the day after I arrived back from DC. Then I'm going to fly out of here tonight and go to Flagstaff, Arizona, where they're going to have a foot of snow tonight. So I don't know that that's necessarily the thing.
So you're Elsa, basically, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let me go.
Yeah. To Arizona.
Hey, dude, it looks like Evelyn's got chicken pox, which is going to be very interesting study in our house because Autumn has never had chicken pox and she's too young for the chicken pox vaccine.
Oh, because
you can't get that until you're like 10 or some shit.
Yep. I'll just like kind of make it happen. Like just,
yeah, well, Amber and the twins and David all had the vaccine, but have never had chicken pox.
Ooh. Okay.
So we're going to test the viability of this fucking vaccine because we know Autumn's going to get it.
Yeah.
And of course, there's always a chance that someone in the house could get a recurrent version because, hell, it's been almost 40 years since I had it. So there's no telling like who in the house is going to get it. It's going to be interesting. So start your tallies now. Place your bets because we have 9 people. One currently has it. One is almost guaranteed. And all of the other 7 are up in the air. And I'm gonna say 3. I'm going to say we're going to have a total of 3 cases in the house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What do you say, man? What do you say?
So there's only two. Well, there's only one person at this very moment in the house that has not either had chicken pox or had the vaccine.
Right.
Hmm. So you say 3 total,
yep.
Including the one that has it now.
Yes.
Ooh. So Autumn's pretty much been, and then you're saying that one of the others, like, just it's going to get through.
Right. It's either going to be me because it's been so long, or it's going to be one of the others that had the vaccine that the vaccine didn't quite take hold right. Or I'm okay. Saying one of the inoculated. Yep. One of the inoculated persons will catch it and Autumn will catch it and Evelyn already has. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay. Well, I'll one up you. I'll say 4. Because if one's going to happen, I say why not 2?
No, that's legit.
So 4 is my guess.
Okay. Let us know your guess. Tweet us at Ritual Misery. Chicken pox bounty. The total is currently at 1 out of 9. Well, I don't know if dogs can get chicken pox. I don't think they can, but Evelyn's already tried to give it to him like twice. She's like, here, look at this, Kai. And you know, of course he wants to fucking lick it because she's like giving. And then of course he's going to lick his nuts right afterwards. So I'm like, Evelyn, are you going to scratch his asshole when he's got chicken pox in his butt? She's like, ew, no. And I was like, well, then don't fucking play with him right now. But
he's not going to get chicken pox.
Chicken pox on the asshole. That's
No, that would be a bad place for a.
You had chicken pox when you were young, right?
Yeah. I mean,
what age? Youngish,
I was like 12, I think.
So you were 12, you're looking like the third or fourth or fifth grade, maybe sixth, depending on the age.
I was like sixth or seventh grade.
Sixth or seventh grade? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So like 12 or 13, but you're a late bloomer. Your birthday's in July. So like you were one of the youngest kids in class all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I got it. Christmas break, first grade.
Mm.
So it's
been not a bad time to get it, really.
I mean, I didn't get to skip any school, which is kind of bullshit. But everybody else is out playing for the entire 2 weeks, and I was sitting in the house watching Babar and Fraggles.
Babar. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, we had free HBO at the time. I don't know how we had it, but we had it. So Fraggles and Babar. Not to, let's just say that I slept through Babar.
No.
Never really been an elephant kind of person. But hey, so yeah, that's happening. And I just got back from DC, which was a very interesting trip. Got to hang out with Richard for the entire week. He actually worked with me that week. So very cool. And, got to explore the George Washington University Law School campus. Didn't really do anything else cause we were just fucking working so much, but yeah, it was a good time.
And that's for, you went there for a podcast reason, right?
Yes. Went there to record some episodes of Talking Peds.
Yeah. So people should check that out in their podcatchers.
Yeah. We just did a Talking Feds Now last night, and we did a rush production and ended up trimming where the host Harry Littman was asking a question. So the question was missing, but the answer was still there. yeah, that's what you get for trying to rush through the fucking edit in just a couple hours.
So that's why you weren't on the show last week.
Yeah.
Because you were traveling. So I tried to do something. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do a full up show. I'm just going to do a game stream. So I decided that I wanted to stream Goat Simulator. I don't know if you've ever played Goat Simulator.
I've not, but I've seen it and heard about it.
It's hilarious. It's so much fun. But I didn't get very far with my attempts at streaming, at least not at first. Mac OS underwent an update about a month or so now.
Right. Called Catalina.
Yeah, it's version 10.15 or something like that. Yeah, Catalina. They made it so that unless your apps are 64-bit or better, I guess, then it's just well, fuck you. Just deal with it, I guess.
Yes. And this has been an issue with Audio Hijack as well.
Yeah, OBS is one of the programs that don't play well with Catalina.
Yeah.
Basically it if you can get the app to open, it will not display any of your scenes properly. Like all of the elements that you put into your scenes will not, like the links will just be broken.
That's awesome.
That's one thing. And then also it will not recognize video inputs or audio inputs. So mics and cameras will not work in OBS unless you open OBS through terminal. You have to open terminal and you have to type in commands.
Is it a sudo thing?
So OBS has in their forums, the developers actually put a post in their forums about it, and it's basically this is the way that Catalina handles permissions, is basically what it is, and they have not fixed the app to basically issue the commands properly to the OS. It's a thing. It's a difficult thing to fix.
If only they'd had since like June to fix this.
Right. I know. I know. I don't know what the hell happened, but Steam has issues as well. Like a lot of things have issues with Catalina. It's not, I mean, I understand that, yes, people had time.
Yeah.
But how much time do they have? I mean, these are not like, oh, okay, cool. I'll fix this real quick. These are like,
yeah. Especially on OBS, which is open source and developed by donation. So
that was an issue. I finally got OBS to work. I was able to stream. I streamed without sound for most of it. I lost what audience I did have by the time I was actually streaming, with sound and everything. And it was kind of a disaster. So, yeah, that was that, man.
So welcome to Ritual Misery.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, last time we were talking, you were telling us about some appliance issues that you had going on. Can you give us a reminder of what was going on there and any updates you might have with that?
So our oven is broken. We just recently had a refrigerator that decided to leak internally, so we had to replace the refrigerator. And then, of course, we only replaced the refrigerator of match set. We got a new updated version of the same refrigerator, but right after that, the oven decided, I don't want to work anymore, so the oven stopped working. Little did I know, because I don't use it very often, the microwave has also been on the fritz. As in, it's a 1,000-watt microwave, but it's behaving more like a 500-watt microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went and ordered. I finally convinced the wife, let's just order a whole new set. Get the fancy stuff. Get the nice stuff. You know, the double oven.
Might as well.
Yeah. You know, all the things, right? They're supposed to be delivered. Well, they're supposed to be delivered tomorrow, but I won't be here. So I called on Monday and was like, hey, is there any way we can get this moved up a day or back like until Wednesday so I'll be back by then. So, you know, I can hook it up and we can actually have a Thanksgiving. Well, they said, sure, we'll probably be able to do that. Call again on Wednesday because that's when it's supposed to be delivered to the distribution center. Cool. I remembered very late Wednesday, called up there and they're like, hey, yeah. So I can confirm that it was delivered to the distribution center. I was like, awesome. So we can get it delivered tomorrow? He's like, no. Okay. Well, why not? He said, because the distribution center for Lowe's in Alaska is in Oregon.
What? Does that make sense?
And they have to ferry it up here because it's too big to ship, to fly.
What?
And I was like, okay, well, that's no problem. I understand we can't get some of the pieces that had to be ordered from LG, so they had to come from Japan or Korea or wherever. I get it. That's fine. I just need the stove. Is there any way we can just get the stove? The rest of the shit we can wait for. I'll even come pick up the rest of it except for the microwave. Like, I'm not, you know. No, the two items that were special ordered were the microwave and the range. Everything else is sitting in my local Lowe's waiting to be delivered. The dishwasher and the fridge.
Okay.
So now they're going to be delivered on December 1st, which puts us without an oven for Thanksgiving.
No.
Now here's the kicker though. Everyone in the house is like, fuck, how are we going to have not have an oven for Thanksgiving? What are we going to do? And me being the resourceful one, I'm like, fuck it. I can just fry some turkeys or fry a turkey or whatever. You know, it's not that big of a deal. We don't have to have like the full blown Thanksgiving we typically do. And then my wife nicks that and she's like, what? No oven? No Thanksgiving? Woohoo! And I was like, all right, well, I'm not fighting that.
What?
She's like, you mean I get a 4-day weekend off and I don't have to sit there in the kitchen for 3 days preparing for shit? I was like, oh, that's valid. Okay. So we're just going to not do Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving this year. We'll probably just do a really big Christmas thing.
Oh my God. That would depress me. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Yeah. I don't know. You just delay it until Christmas. That way I can That way I can have my favorite holiday at the same time that everybody else has their favorite holiday. Because I fucking hate Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like, if you love Christmas, that's like saying that, you know what? I mean, y'all have birthdays throughout the year, so let's just delay the presents until then. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, so we're just going to delay Thanksgiving until Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Which means for the Streamathon, I'll be sitting there eating some freshly carved turkey sandwiches, because leftover turkey sandwiches are literally my favorite fucking food.
Dude, leftover turkey sandwiches are better than just
than like fresh turkey sandwiches.
Period. Yeah. Like, I always love putting like turkey in bread with cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce is my dressing for my chicken sandwiches or turkey sandwiches. Man, I can't brain right now.
Leftover Thanksgiving turkey plus a little bit of mayo on a sweet roll that has just been retoasted.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's if I'm not in the mood for a little bit of mayo, which when I say mayo, I mean Miracle Whip, because mayo is disgusting. I mean, okay. Miracle Whip barely passes the test, but if there's no mayo or if I don't want any or whatever else, then it's already a sweet roll. You just dab a little honey on there and it's even just as good.
Okay. Yeah. I could go for that.
Yeah. All right, man. Speaking of the problems that I've been having, you've got Star Wars Resistance on here. That sounds like something that, I've heard some mixed reviews.
Dude. Yeah. So for those that don't know, Star Wars Resistance is the current animated series for Star Wars, airing on Disney XD. I get to watch it because we're kind of hijacking someone's, YouTube TV account. I got rid of YouTube TV several months ago because it's like, it's way too expensive for what it's worth. Somebody's like, oh, we've got however many concurrent logins and we only use the one here. Oh, okay. I caught up with Star Wars Resistance. They're on season 2, which is actually the final season. So the first, I would say, all but the last 2 or 3 episodes of season 1, it was a struggle to get through the show. It feels very aimed at kids. It's always a like villain of the week kind of thing. And there's an alien that reminds me of fucking Jar Jar Binks because he's so annoying. And the main character, Ezra, is kind of a clumsy ass fool, but always ends up like, you know, figuring shit out and saving the day. But the end of season 1 really picks up. It gets super, super interesting, super tied into the story, because when this takes place is the show begins just before The Force Awakens, like probably a couple of months before The Force Awakens begins.
Okay.
And by the end of season 1, you catch up to The Force Awakens. And then now we're in season 2, which takes place probably, I don't know, a few months after the end of season 1. So basically, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi have happened. So we're caught up in Resistance. And I believe that this show is going to cross over with, Rise of Skywalker. I think the episode that airs just before the new movie comes out, I think it's going to be like kind of a lead in to the movie, because in the trailer for Rise of Skywalker, you see this giant battle, right? Giant space battle. It's got hundreds, if not thousands, of ships involved.
Star Destroyers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the Rebel side.
Okay.
There's the, it's just kind of a hodgepodge of all of these just ships from everywhere. It's all like basically if you have a ship and you hate the Empire or the First Order in this iteration, then come on, let's go fight them. And that's observant people with a pause button have been pointing out like different things that they see, like the ship Ghost from Rebels is very prominent.
Mm-hmm.
They're pointing things out. And then one of them looks like the Colossus, which is the space station / ship / refueling station, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of the focus of Resistance. And I think they're going to show up, because the thing that was happening at the beginning of season 2 was they were looking for the Resistance base, and they end up actually going there just after the big battle at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker or The Last Jedi. So like they just missed them basically. So gotcha. I think it's all good. Anyway, I caught up. It's super awesome, super interesting. And, I'm liking it now. It's great.
How much pain was it to get to the point where you like it?
It was a grind. I don't want to say I hated it. It was just not, just wasn't the best. If it wasn't Star Wars branded, I would not have even gotten past episode 1.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I'm, another reason that I'm looking for
Coverd.
Yeah. Thanks for the bits. Another reason I'm looking for Rise of Skywalker to come out, other than my massive Star Wars fandom,
mm-hmm.
is that we're actually going to get some money in the movie draft.
It'll be nice. Let's see what's going on right now while we're still not doing anything.
Welcome to your Blue League Movie Draft Minute, presented by DomaClub.tv for the week of November 18th, 2019. I'm your host, Big Voice Jay. Hey, I just ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon Fresh. I'll let you know. Let's go to the scoreboard. Team R&P's in last place with $6.5 million. Team Average Drink falls to fifth place with $57.7 million. Team Gelf is in fourth place with $58.3 million. Team Snowshoe gets $9 million from Charlie's Angles and moves up to third place with $62.1 million. Team Geek Grills is in second place with $213.9 million. And in first place with $467.3 million, it's Team DKG. Let your Stream Team Movie Draft Minute for up to date listings, follow Stream Team Draft on Twitter.
I don't know, man.
We're gonna make a shitload of money with Rise of Skywalker, dude. But DKG, ooh, they're killing it right now, and they've got a bunch of movies coming still.
Yeah, it's we're gonna come in second place again.
I think so, man.
God, it's gonna piss me off.
Oh my gosh,
I'm tired of coming in second place.
Right? Like, I want to come first.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Well, if you'd like to help us with our resources so we can improve our likelihood of coming in first, which I don't know how that actually works, but whatever. Patreon.com/ritual misery is where you can go to support this show and help us do things better than what we're going to place in the movie draft.
Yeah, as I think it was B. Coford earlier in the chat said, why do you even do a show? Just do the pre-show and the post-show. Forget the show in the middle. That's because we tend to have some of our best banter and best jokes during the pre-show and post-show. And if you're a patron over at patreon.com/ritual misery, you'll get those. You'll get the pre-show and the post-show, as well as a lot of the things that nobody else gets.
Well, you say a lot, but it's been tapering off a little bit lately, but we're about to ramp it back up. So
we are. And you also have access to the entire archive.
Yeah.
Give us a buck once and you can dig in there and see what all is available. Yep. You can see Amos and I from like what, almost 25 years ago, mm-hmm. doing some dumb shit. Check it out.
Like on camera.
Yeah, on camera even. That's patreon.com/ritual misery.
Yep, and we're going to be switching to a once-a-month model starting 1 December, so it should ease things up a little bit. We're hoping people will be able to come in there and kick on a buck a month to $3 a month or whatever the levels end up being, but we really appreciate you, and we really hope that you continue to be our patrons and support the show.
Hell yeah.
And if you don't already, please do. Richard, I'm talking to you. It's about time for this, isn't it?
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's games.
Play with him. Play with him.
I got to figure out what to do about my lights if I'm going to be wearing my glasses on the show.
Oh, yeah. 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 You're very reflective.
Yeah.
Today. Too bad our show is not reflective.
it's reflective of. So how's the game?
All right, here in a little while we're going to talk all things Disney Plus. I want to talk about Disney Minus, which is what I named this game. Basically, it's just Disney trivia, just straight up, no gimmick. It's just trivia about Disney movies. Here we go. Your first question: in the Jungle Book, who teaches Mowgli about the bare necessities of life?
The bare necessities. No, I can hear the song. I'm going to go with Baloo. Oh, shit.
It was Baloo. Yes.
Nice.
All right. Cruella de Vil is the villain in which Disney movie?
That'd be the 101 Dalmatians.
We were talking about that in the pre-show because I think we named this stream. What did we name this stream? 101 or Disney Screws 101 Pooches?
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. Amos, what is the name of the boy who owns Buzz Lightyear in the movie Toy Story?
Andy.
I think you have a real good chance of beating your D. Which Disney princess has a raccoon as a sidekick?
Oh, the raccoon. Isn't that...
And no, we're not looking for Elizabeth Warren. That is not the name of this movie. Though she may have a raccoon. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's why.
Pocahontas. I was thinking, like, in my mind, I could see Pocahontas, but I was thinking the name Mulan. I was like, no, that's the other one that's got she's got the dragon.
Yeah, I did the same thing when I was making this quiz. I was like, Mulan? No, not Mulan. What's her name? Yeah. That's hilarious. All right. In the movie Frozen, which song does Elsa sing as she builds the castle?
Let It Go.
I'm not a big fan of Frozen. Do you like Frozen?
I liked it. I can't watch it over and over again, but that's probably because I've already seen it over and over again. But I mean, yeah. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't really care for it. I mean, it's not the worst thing on earth, but like,
it's
nothing for me.
It's above the middle.
If I had to put it, I would put it below the middle.
Like, yeah.
It's not great.
You're clearly not the target demographic though.
Obviously. Like, I mean, I could take or leave the songs, anyway. All right. In the movie Finding Nemo, which country has Nemo been taken to?
Australia?
Indeed it was. I didn't know that one. It's been so long since I saw Finding Nemo. I was like, what? Like, what country? I don't. Okay. What is the name of Bambi's rabbit friend?
You almost got me. Thumper. I almost said Flower, but Flower was a skunk.
Flower is a skunk, yeah. But you can call me a flower if you want
to.
What does the crocodile swallow in Peter Pan?
Captain Hook's arm? What does he swallow in Peter Pan?
Clock.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have gotten that one. I don't like Peter Pan.
Oh, I like.
The only one I ever liked was the Robin Williams one.
Oh, Hook. Yeah. Yeah, BK's got it. Tick, tick, tick. Yeah, that was the... you should have known that if you like Hook, because that was a constant thing. He was haunted by this.
That doesn't mean I've seen it this century.
Fair point.
Literally.
So Peter Pan, the old Disney cartoon, actually has a very, very racist scene in it, at least by today's standards.
You don't say...
There's a scene where they're with some Native Americans, and yes, it's very, very racially stereotyped. Angela Lansbury plays a witch called Miss Eglantine Price in which Disney movie? You don't even need to think about the name. What movie did Angela Lansbury play a witch?
Well, because she's been in at least two movies that I know of.
As a witch?
No.
Oh.
No.
She's been in at least two movies?
She was a tea kettle in one, Mrs. Potts.
Okay. All right. Hint, this is a live action film. It's So it's actually the Angela Lansbury, not the voice of Angela Lansbury.
Oh. Oh, shit. Did I have...
The next couple of questions, these last two questions actually are live action films.
No, I don't. I don't know. You'll probably say it and I'll be pissed. But yeah.
So let me do this first. The answer I was looking for is Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Never seen it.
Wow. Yeah. That was a staple in my house when I was little. Yeah. All these old Disney movies, like 1960s and like early 70s. Like I've seen like all Disney content, I think, from that time period. Mm. Like many, many times over.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks sounds like a really bad porno to me.
Wow. Yeah. That's not one I'd like to see. Especially if it starred Angela Lansbury.
No. No king shaming.
Final question.
Uh-huh.
Character Bert was played by which actor in Mary Poppins?
Womp, womp, womp,
womp. Your answer of womp, 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 womp. I was looking for Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. No. I'm not good with the dick.
But you did beat the D.
I did beat the 7%. D.
Dick Van Dyke, an AI that was looking out for bad words and derogatory terms, might translate his name into Penis Van Lesbian.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you at the end of the game was 7 out of 10 correct. You beat the D.
And this is why we don't have cultural shit that updates. It just stays the same, stays old. Right. All right, so Disney Plus, dude.
Yeah, Disney Plus came out last week.
Mm-hmm. Did you have problems with signing on and shit?
No, not even a little bit.
I didn't. Richard did. So, Richard had problems with galore.
So I ordered or pre-ordered or signed up for, I guess, Disney Plus months ago, like 2-3 months ago.
Yep.
I did that 3-year sign-up deal where I get Disney Plus for like, it's not even $4. It's like $3.78 or some shit a month, where it should be $6.99, but I got like a, you know, fucking crazy discount. What, it came out on Tuesday, right?
Yep.
Was that the 12th? So Monday night, like around midnight my time, the Disney Plus app became available on all the places. And of course I downloaded it immediately and signed in. No problems. Signed right in immediately. No issues with sign in for me. What about you?
No, of course I signed in for my phone. But yeah, no problems with me or back here at the house while I was gone. So
yeah. So I was downloading the iOS app and the Apple TV app simultaneously. And of course, the iOS app fucking loaded instantly. So while it was still downloading on Apple TV, I logged in on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to log in on Apple TV, once it finally loaded,
it was like, hey, let's hook that up for you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, oh, you logged in over there. So yeah. Here you go.
I need to bring something up real quick. You said that there was a 3-year deal. If you signed on beforehand, I took part of that as well. And now there's another deal with Verizon that if you're on one of their unlimited plans, or if you add to upgrade to an unlimited plan, you get a free year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those can both work simultaneously.
Oh,
so wait. Being that I already have Verizon unlimited, have 4 years for prepaid for the price of 20 months or whatever it was.
Oh my God. Okay. That's wonderful to know. Yeah. So do I call Verizon or do I get a hold of Disney?
You can go to the Verizon website and just search for Disney Plus and there's a link there and then it'll take you to the Disney website. You'll sign in and then the next day you'll get an email from Disney Plus saying, hey, we saw that you prepaid and you just took part in the Verizon deal. So we're going to pause your prepaid until the Verizon deal runs out after the year and then we'll continue your prepaid.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's amazing. So yeah, four years. It's 48 months for the price of 20. if you do both.
Oh my God.
I know. It's fucking stupid. It comes out to like what?
Dude.
Like $1 a month or some shit.
And the thing is, like, I think $6.99, I would pay double that easily
Yeah.
a month for Disney Plus.
Right.
Oh my God.
So yeah, if you're a Verizon Unlimited subscriber, go hit that up and do that.
That is fantastic. God,
are you Verizon Unlimited now? I thought you had the,
I've been unlimited for 2 years now.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So yeah,
that came out. Yeah.
Go make do, man. Like go hit that shit up, get that free year. Cause fuck it.
I thought I'd fucked myself on that deal because I'd already done the other thing.
I did too. And then, David sent me a text saying, no, I think you can do both. And I was like, fuck it. I'll go check it out. And sure as hell it worked. And I was like, well, make sure I mention that to Kent.
That is fantastic. So how much time have you spent in the Disney Plus environment?
Richard and I watched Mandalorian the first night it was out. We also watched it on Friday when the second episode came out. I've messed around with it a little bit with the family and perused through the things. Richard was having a lot of problems with the app itself with some of the menus. Like when you go across the top, it goes like different categories. You know, you got TV, then you got Disney movies, then you got like other movies or whatever. And like, then at the very end, it's like 4K. Like, these are all the categories. On his, you'd have to go over, like, hit over three times, and it'd go back to the first one. You go over four times, it goes back to the first one.
What box is he using?
He's on an Apple TV, Apple TV 4K.
Oh, what? That's what I mean.
I have not. I've used it on Apple TV fourth gen and Apple TV 4K, which is, I guess, four and a half gen, whatever. And I have not had any problems with either one, so... It could just be touch and go. Might need to wait for an update to reinstall or whatever. But yeah,
yeah, I'm eagerly looking for version 2, or 1.2 or whatever they end up calling it. Yeah. Because there are some things that are so the only bug or glitch, I guess, that I've got is once in a while I'll be watching something, and then when I go to like if I hit menu to get out of that show, and then I'll like. Want to go look at something else or whatever, like the Apple crash, it'll just like close out and I just have to open it again. And it's like, it's not a problem really. It's a minor annoyance cause it only takes a couple of seconds for the app to come back up. That's the only bug.
He was also having issues with scrolling. So where when you scroll down, the titles will repeat.
Oh yeah. See, yeah. I don't have that either. That's weird that that's happening to him on Apple TV 4K, which is the exact device that I'm using.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we have up in our bedroom and is working fine. So it's, I don't know. It could just be, you know, user experience. Your mileage may vary.
So something that's weird to me, when I first downloaded the thing, like basically the moment it was available, it only had, I think, three reviews in the App Store when I snagged it.
Hmm.
Brand new. So you know how when you're scrolling down, like it's basically the same format as Netflix, right?
Mm.
Where you've got like the, you know, recommended for you, and then you've got the, you know, Disney Princesses category and like all these things, right? Well, the very top one for me was continue watching. So like if I started watching a thing and then I backed out of it, it would be there on that little thing all by itself. So you continue watching, you know, and try something else and then it pops up too, right? That lasted all of that moment because it has not been there since.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And that's a feature that I really fucking want. That, and if you start watching a TV show, like a series, right? Like several episodes or several seasons, whatever, you start watching this show, there's no indication where you left off.
Oh,
so like you start watching The Simpsons, right? You're like, you know what? I'm starting my Simpsons binge. You're on season one, episode three. You got three episodes in. You're like, you know what? I need to go to the store and I'll come back and start over, or start pick up where I left off.
Right.
You open the app. You go to The Simpsons, season one. What the fuck? Like, there's no indication of where you left off. You have to remember that you left off in episode three.
Oh, that's bogus.
Luckily, if you click on episode three, like, and you were 3.5 minutes in, it will pick up where you left off. It'll pick up 3.5 minutes in, but there's nothing, no visual indicator that, hey dude, this is the episode you're on and this is how far you got.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's the big thing that I want.
Sort of unrelated, but I want to mention it. Plex for the Apple TV just updated, and now you can have shows in the shelf on Apple TV. You know, the little thing when you first come on, and you got all your apps, and the little bar at the top that says what you've been watching lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plex will now add it to that when you've watched a movie or a TV show. So nice. What have you found other than The Mandalorian that you really enjoyed? Because that's all that I've watched is The Mandalorian.
All right, we'll talk about The Mandalorian briefly. We'll try to be we'll talk about that here in a second. So I've been most of my time in Apple TV, in Disney Plus, honestly, has probably been scrolling through things. Not like I do on Netflix, where if I'm scrolling through Netflix, it's me like, fuck, I don't want to watch that. What else? Come on, there's gotta be something I want to watch. And I just, it's been 20 minutes scrolling through, and then I decide I'm not going to watch anything. Disney Plus, I've spent probably a comparable amount of time scrolling through things, but it's not, oh, there's nothing to watch, I don't want to watch it.
It's a nostalgia trip.
Yes, dude. Oh my God. So I was talking about like the 60s and 70s shows, right? That are in movies that I grew up on. Yeah, they're all there. Yeah. And I'm like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, for example. I just had like a rush of memories about like what it's like watching that. And there's like
bad porn.
It mixes live action with animation. Like you think about, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? You're like, oh yeah, that's the first movie that did that. Bullshit. Rewind a couple of decades. Bedknobs and Broomsticks totally did an underwater scene where you had the live action actors interacting with cartoon fish. Anyway, classic. There's so many classics on here, to include all of the Kurt Russell as a teenager Disney star. I don't know if you've seen these. I don't know if our audience remembers this or has ever heard of it. But me, I had the opposite kind of thing, because I knew Kurt Russell from when I was a little kid, watching him as a teenager on Disney movies, like in super silly roles and really, really silly movies. And then I saw him in, which movie was it? Escape from New York, I think.
Oh yeah.
Where I was like, oh my God, that's Kurt Russell. What the fuck? Where most people's experience is the other way around. If they even have the teenage Kurt Russell experience, they freak out at seeing him as a teenager doing silly Disney stuff. Like, what the fuck?
I've never seen it.
Yeah. So that's a mind trip. So search that out. Just go to Disney, because you can search by actor as well. So just go to Disney Plus and search Kurt Russell and prepare to have your mind blown. that's pretty great. Another thing that I found, Pixar. So, obviously basically the entire catalog of Pixar is
to include the shorts, which I thought was great. They have a collection of just the shorts, the little mini movies at the beginning of Pixar movies. And that's amazing.
The shorts. Yeah, the shorts are some of my favorite Pixar material. Like, one of my favorites by far is the old man that's playing chess with himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like two different characters. It's so good. So they have a new thing that's called Pixar Spark Shorts. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
So these are shorts, as it says, that are made by like artists, right? So like if you're a Pixar artist, they gave them an opportunity to direct their own short. It's like, you know what? Make what you want. Like, come up with a story idea. You're the director. You're the writer and director of this short. Go. And so there's like 5 or 6, I think, out right now. And they're varying in quality, right? And varying in my tastes. But there's one that got me. Everybody should go check it out. It's called Kit Bull. So like Pit Bull, right? Mm-hmm. Like a dog. But Kit Bull. So it's a kitten and a pit bull that I don't want to give away what happens in this, but the basis of it is there's a kitten that's just kind of curious doing kitten stuff, and he or she encounters a pit bull that the kitten's initially afraid of, but then becomes curious about. And you go for an emotional ride. I probably experienced like 5 or 6 distinct emotions while watching this short. And in very surprising ways, unexpected ways, and I felt them strongly.
Nice.
Like, you know, you've seen Up, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the first 5 minutes of Up?
Mm-hmm.
Is your heart ripped from your chest when you watch that?
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah. So it's kind of that effect, but with several different emotions. So
it did its job.
It's amazing. It is fantastic. It is head and shoulders above any of the other Spark shorts.
Nice.
You can probably, if you don't have Disney Plus yourself, you can probably find it on YouTube in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
or at least somewhere on the web. I mean, it's only like 5 minutes long. But my God, man, if you want to feel what it is to be human, like experience emotion, like Kit Bull, check that shit out.
Nice. And The Mandalorian. What are your thoughts on The Mandalorian?
Do you remember when Solo came out?
Yes.
Solo, Star Wars Story. I really, 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 really enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
In part because the thing about Star Wars that has captured my attention more than anything else since I was like, well, like when I was 5, you know, it was right. All about Jedi, right? But like anywhere past that, especially like teenage years and beyond, the thing that has fascinated me the most about Star Wars is what's called in canon, like the fringe element, right? So like smugglers and bounty hunters and just the like underworld stuff, right? The more sea type stuff. And Solo spoke to me because it was those things. This show is more of that and it's wonderful. And I also love the aesthetic of Mandalorian armor. Boba Fett was always my favorite as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm actually wearing a Boba Fett shirt right now because I knew I was going to talk about the Mandalorian. I love everything about it, man. It's great. It's a Western. It's basically a Western. I know I'm not the first person to say this.
Yeah.
It's a straight up Western. And I love Westerns also. This is Clint Eastwood. This is the man with no name. Literally, they call him the Mandalorian because he doesn't have a fucking name, or at least it hasn't been revealed.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a Western and it's set in Star Wars and it's the seediest parts of Star Wars. And it's just fucking great.
I thought that it was slow. I thought that there were times when I didn't know, based on how the picture was framed, I didn't know what I was supposed to be looking at on the screen. And there are times where I think they really go a little bit overboard with the effects, essentially, especially with like the Jawas and things like that. And all of that is to say that all of that is perfect for this show. It's amazing. It's very, very slow, very deliberate pace. It's giving you
deliberate. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Richard and I didn't realize the damn show was over the first episode. We were like, wait, it's over already? Holy shit. Okay. We looked at the time. Yeah, oh my God. It's like 48 minutes.
It's like 40 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second one was only 30 minutes and it felt like 5. Like it just flew by. I'm really enjoying it. I don't know if I'm hooked on it. Like I would really want to see where it goes. I didn't particularly like the big fight at the end of the second episode. I thought it was kind of a little bit corny. But I don't know if that was execution or if I just wasn't in the mood for that type of viewing. But either way, just the basic storyline. I'm enjoying the characters. I love the character development. The pacing is very on point, and I love the effects that they're using. It's pretty awesome.
Right on, man.
I have spoken.
Damn it. You beat me to it. So that's the big line. That's the quotable thing from the show.
From the first definitely two not episodes, anything yeah.
Mandalorian says, because he's only said like 18 words, I think, in the entire run.
He actually talks quite a bit compared to what I thought he would say, but he does not elaborate much. It's very.
He doesn't waste words.
Yeah, no, he's very conservative with his yeah. vocal cords.
So, shall we talk about the thing that literally the entire internet is talking about?
No, let him go there and find it.
And Disney itself has actually said this is no longer a spoiler. This is just pop culture now.
Sure. Whatever.
All right. So, I tell you what, if you're waiting to watch The Mandalorian, you have successfully to this point not been spoiled on The Mandalorian, and you're waiting to watch it and you don't want to know what happens, this is the time to stop it. But also, yeah. Where the fuck have you been? Because this is literally everywhere on the internet.
Let me reveal it by saying Baby Yoda da 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 da, baby Yoda da 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 da, baby Yoda da 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 da, baby Yoda.
Yeah. What did you think when? So this was the very last thing in episode one.
Yep.
They're chasing this quarry. It's a 50-year-old. They get the. I said by they, I mean the Mandalorian and the IG assassin droid. The assassin droid, when they find it, the assassin droid says, I was told to kill it, basically.
Yep.
And the Mandalorian, when he was given the bounty, was like, definitely preferred alive. Like, we'll give you some scraps, I guess, if you kill it and you can prove it's dead, and sure, but please bring it back alive. So the Mandalorian kills the IG droid to spare the child. 50-year-old child, in part probably because he wants the greater bounty, but also I think he felt something for
some humanity, some baby. Empathy.
Yeah. So Baby Yoda revealed.
Do we know for sure, certain that it is Yoda or just the same type of creature?
It's not Yoda. Yoda's dead. So this takes place after Return of the Jedi, like probably like half a year. Or something like that after Return of the Jedi ends.
Oh, we know is
Yoda
it?
Died. Yeah, we know Yoda died in Return of the Jedi. So this is just and Yoda's species has never been named ever.
Right.
So you know, like Chewbacca's a Wookiee, right? But Yoda is a whatever the fuck Yoda is.
He's a Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. So
he's a Yoda from Planet Yoda, where they eat Yodas.
Yeah.
It doesn't
I mean, the only other Yoda that's been in the movies
in canon is
Yaddle from the Jedi Council in episode one, which I don't even think is named on screen, but it's a the canon name for that character. The female Yoda is Yaddle. And now we have a third, right? So there's been speculation like, oh, could this be Yoda's baby? Maybe because they said it's 50 years old, right? Yeah. Yoda and Yaddle obviously knew each other in the Jedi Council. And it was probably only about 35 years ago in canon. Or no, wait a minute. Hold on. That would be for episode. Yeah, probably like 35 years ago or something like that. When episode one happened in timeline.
So it would have been conceived and born just prior to episode one happening.
Kinda. Yeah.
I mean, so, that checks.
I don't want that to be the case, but it's plausible.
Yeah. I think there's already going to be enough of that in The Rise of Skywalker. So let's leave that alone and hope that it's a completely different lineage.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that it's a Force user, obviously. How about how cute the damn thing is? That's really what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
I thought that Gizmo, the Mogwai from Gremlins, was cute. And by God, he was cute. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Fuck Gizmo. Like, Baby Yoda is the cutest thing that I possibly have ever seen.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. Like the reveal, I thought it was pretty fun. Give me something to think about until the next episode, and I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that it's week over week. I'm glad it wasn't I think it's gonna be 8 episodes. I'm glad it was maybe 8 episodes.
Is it 8 or like 6? I know it's not 10. It's less than.
Feel like it's 8. Maybe it's 6, but I think it's 8.
Yeah, I don't know.
Regardless, we get episode 3 tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be sitting in a hotel room in Arizona. Hopefully I get a good connection or good Wi-Fi or something. All that being said, it's been a good week. We do not have a show next week because it's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Even though some of us won't, I will stream since we won't be doing Thanksgiving proper.
Huh? Maybe.
Yeah,
you can stream some goat simulator
or not.
I will not be on the stream next week. That's for sure.
He's gonna be too full and drunk. Maybe not in that order. But all right, Kent. Give us a tweet you've been enjoying and tell us where we can find you.
All right, man. I found this earlier today, actually. So this is a tweeter. I don't know what you call people on Twitter. Anyway, Shinmei Shrotri. I'm probably completely butchering his name, but he is at Shinmei Shrotri. It's C H I N M A Y S Shrotri. So he said, "Don't forget to pretend to have your shit together for strangers on the internet today." That was amusing to me. That's kind of course, that's internet culture, but it also that's in real life too. I mean, we pretend so much. We've all got shit going on in our lives, but god damn it, if we're gonna comb our hair, we're gonna tuck our shirt in, we're gonna do our makeup, some of us. we're gonna smile. Hurting inside, but we're gonna fucking smile. And god damn it, I'm so here for whatever's happening.
Also, this is exactly why I hate fucking social media.
Yeah, but he in his parody, he kind of captures the like how I just kind of feel about presenting ourselves in most cases. Don't get me wrong, I'm genuine around my friends most of the time. I'm genuine around my family most of the time, but to the general public, like you knocked on my door, I do not want you on my porch, but I'm going to smile when I open the door, you know? One spoke to me. What about you, man?
So I've got two. The first one relates directly to the conversation we were just having. It is a description of The Mandalorian written to the theme of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Alexander Hamilton. So I'm going to say it I'm not going to sing it because that would be stupid. Plus it's not a part of the song that's sung. It's just spoken, but here you go. How does an orphan foundling, son of his war-torn surroundings, dropped in the middle of a forgotten planet near Concordia by Providence, impoverished and squalor, grow up to be a bounty hunting horror?
Yeah.
And this thread was continued. Lin-Manuel Miranda chimed in on it a little bit. It's pretty ridiculous. There's some people that tied it in really, really well. And I could see it becoming a full blown spoof by someone one day because holy shit, it just fits so well.
It's probably already been done. It's got over 1,000 retweets, almost 10,000 likes. Somebody's done it. Somebody's done it.
Yeah. And then here's the Lin-Manuel Miranda. I seen it. Okay, and the other one, I'm going to cut to the video on this because it's at Jordan Uhl, UHL, Jordan on Twitter, and says, "God damn, I wish more members of Congress talked like this. Great stuff." And I'm going to go and we're going to watch about a minute video because I thought this was just fucking ridiculous.
Because the first question that I hear from so many members are, how are the returns? But the returns are great, aren't they? How are the returns? And I wasn't sent here to safeguard and protect profit. I was sent here to safeguard and protect people. And we're talking about reining in private equity, which is responsible for wiping out tens of thousands of jobs at Toys R Us alone. And then we're hearing, but what about the companies that made 100 jobs here? or 200 jobs there. Toys R Us, 30,000 jobs wiped out. Shopko, 14,000 jobs. Brookstone, David's Bridal, Payless. Not to mention the impacts, the undemocratic impacts on media companies. Splinter, Deadspin, Sports Illustrated, local and regional newspapers. In the last 10 years, private equity is behind 597,000 lost jobs. And it's not just about the number of jobs. Isn't that right, Ms. De La Rosa? It's about the quality of jobs, right? When private equity took over Toys R Us, did you see folks' work schedules get cut back?
Yes, definitely.
Did you see people's benefits in some other ways cut back?
Yes.
I love Truth to Power, and AOC is leading that charge in Congress right now. I think she's amazing. I wish she was my representative, but I've got...
You'd have to move to New York.
Right. They have to, that's not happening. But I'm just glad that there's someone out there being very open, honest, and direct and not trying to skirt around all the issues in Congress. And it's amazing. And also, private equity buying out and destroying Toys R Us was bullshit.
Yeah. So,
that being said, you can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane, E-T-H-A-N-C-A-I-N-E, where I retweeted both those tweets, and you can keep up to all the stuff that I find really cool on the interwebs right there on Twitter, Ethan Kane.
And I am at RM_Del Noche on Twitter. I'm Del Noche or Del Noche 77, pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, and of course you can find, I follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery.
We'd love it if you joined our conversation on Discord, bit.ly/RMP Discord.
You can find these links and more ways to support the show and give feedback at our website, ritualmisery.com.
We are live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific on diamondclub.tv and twitch.tv/ritualmisery.
Thank you so much to Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use your music. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, for you, and for everyone else, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Too much time.
RITUALMISERY.
I didn't know why the closer didn't sound.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
I got audio on the Ritual Misery stinger, but not the Diamond Club stinger.
Yeah, I don't know how to check it.
So I just thought about this when we threw our diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else has noticed this on Boba Fett's armor.
Yeah,
there's a Diamond Club symbol.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to zoom in the camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I see it. Look at that. Fucking old school, homie.
Yeah. So like on the forehead, like just below or just above the eyes, yeah. Like on the helmet. It's full blown fucking Diamond Club.
Covert saying that he heard it in the chat room. He heard it go live. So.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So, that's weird that it didn't play.
It didn't play locally, which means you didn't hear it,
yeah.
Which is odd.